It's a Friday, and that means it's a Ben Fred Friday on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com as we visit with Ben Frederickson of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. And as always, we're brought to you by Blue Tail Medical Group, the doctors Bays, Crane, and Wolf, located in Chesterfield. They will help you stay in the game. So if you're on the fence as to whether or not to have surgery, make sure you consult with them because they can help you prior to surgery. You may not even need it. So that's all at BlueTailMedicalGroup.com, a great sponsor of our Ben Fred Fridays. And Ben Frederickson, as always, good morning to you.
Good morning, Dan. Happy Friday to you.
Absolutely. It's a great Friday. The Cardinals earned a split with the Dodgers. And I found this series to be compelling. I found it fun. I found it interesting in many, many regards. But I'm going to just start with the split. What did you think of the split with the Dodgers?
Well, they salvaged it. It sure didn't seem to be heading in a good direction. The Cardinals come out of it feeling better than they did entering it. They're in this spot, Dan, where, you know, just when we think they're going to kind of take themselves out of the running here, they find a way to kind of hang around. And they are doing that, hanging around. It's going to be harder and harder to find the time to do more than that. And they're going to have to find a way to win some of these series against winning teams. But as we talked about last week, the schedule's right there. It's going to steer them toward teams that they can make ground and kind of prove people like me wrong. So I really don't see them making a run, but they're still within striking distance there. So we'll find out if they can make up ground against the Reds. I would have not guessed that they could have come back and won two games against the team after falling behind two. They managed to do it. The question for them is going to continue to be, can they keep some semblance of momentum rolling? When you look at the starters who are lined up against the Reds in this series, it's going to be tough to win this series against Cincinnati. The only problem is they can't start Adam Wainwright every night, Dan.
Yeah, and I wonder if writers are going to start taking a harder look at Adam Wainwright for the Cy Young. He is in the top five, top 10, and in many cases of the major categories, top two or three in pitching in Major League Baseball, certainly in the National League. He's probably got four starts left, if not five. And if the Cardinals would get in, you just never know. This guy might win the Cy Young Award, and he'd be a sentimental favorite as well. So don't overlook what Adam Wainwright has done this year.
Yeah, I mean, factor in what he's done the past 2 years. Not that the vote is about that, but he's been one of baseball's most dominant pitchers since the start of the pandemic. He's going to have some competition there in Max Scherzer, in part because Wainwright's closing in on that 2,000 strikeouts, but Scherzer's closing in on three, and he's probably going to get it in his next start. He almost got it against the Cardinals, and that's a number that I think is going to be hard for voters to ignore, but maybe it's a 1-2 between those two guys finished. That would be pretty cool to see. But Adam absolutely deserves some looks. I think he'll get some, you know, he'll get some points in the voting, and he should. It's hard to argue that there's been a pitcher who's been more valuable to their team than Adam has. The Cardinals are not even close to the playoff picture without him. You could argue the Dodgers could be in this spot without Scherzer. It would be, and you got to go back years and years to find somebody who wins a Cy Young after being traded. But that's kind of the way baseball is trending more now. I think if you vote on it in terms of value, more than just numbers, then it's hard to find somebody who's more valuable to their team than what Adam Wainwright has been. But he's got some stiff competition there in Mad Max.
What'd you think of Albert Pujols back in St. Louis?
You can't make it up, man. You had the great call, and it was fitting. He'd saved something special for these games, and he doesn't disappoint. And that's a hard thing to do in a game that's all about disappointment and failure. He finds a way to give folks a reason to come out to watch him when he plays here. And every time he plays here, you go, man, you almost kind of wish that he didn't come back, because how could it get better than what he did the last time? And then he finds some way to do it again. It was pretty cool to see, you know, Wainwright, Pujols, Molina on the same field again together, although not playing for the same team. It didn't make sense to me for the Cardinals to think about trying to find a place for him this season. But I'll tell you what, seeing what he's doing against left-handed pitching for the Dodgers, seeing how they're using him, plenty of rest, capitalizing on him against lefties. He's just mashing lefties, as Hap found out. I tell you what, with the DH, I know a lot of National League fans don't want it. It's coming. A lot of Cardinals fans don't want it. If you put Albert Pujols there and say, hey, he's a part-time player as the DH who crushes lefties, I think he's got enough gas left in the tank to do one more year if he's interested in coming back here to do it. I know it would help move tickets. I think those three guys would look pretty good together on the front of a media guide now that Wainwright has said he's for sure coming back. I like the idea the more and more you look at what he's been able to do with the Dodgers. Only question I have is, A, well, two, does he want to keep playing? And B, do the Dodgers want him back if he does? Because if he wins a ring and might want to get another one, if the Dodgers still have a place for him next season.
I think there's a lot of things that go into this. Number one, it takes two to tango, you know, talking about an organization and a player. Do the rosters expand after the current CBA is up? So instead of 26, maybe 27, that would be something to keep in mind. I also think the three-batter minimum is important. And I say that because imagine if you're that opposing manager and they announce that Albert Pujols is going to be the pinch hitter, you can quickly counter then with a right-hander. And in a three-batter minimum situation, like yesterday with TJ McFarland, you can't do that. So I think there's a lot of things, you know, whether or not he wants to be a bench guy, does he want to come back to St. Louis, what do Waino and Yachty think of this, all that stuff needs to be hashed out, obviously. But those are just some of the things of the nuts and bolts of baseball looking at Albert Pujols potentially playing next year.
Yeah, I mean, I think Wainwright and Molina would be on board with it. Part of me at times wondered, you know, would they feel like their swan song is getting interrupted? But based off of their comments this week, I don't think they would feel that way. You know, Yachty would love to see it. I think most importantly, he could help the team on the field. One, we mentioned it, he's absolutely crushing left-handed pitching. Use him in that role, get him plenty of rest. If something happens to Paul Goldschmidt, then you got a first baseman you can slide in there. You can use him as a pinch hitter, too, against left-handers late in games. I like the role that could be there if he continues to play like this, if he wants to keep playing. But he has to fit all the boxes. And there's the other thing. It can't be the only move. I mean, it's a move for this team, a minor move in terms of rounding out your lineup a little bit with a platoon-type player. It's not the move that fixes this team. But whatever he's going to bring that's going to help you in the box, you know he's also going to help you on the bench, because if he's not playing, he's sitting there helping younger guys. I think that could be a valuable voice to him, too. It makes a lot of sense, a lot more now than it would have this season.
There's no doubt. So Waino put it to his family as to whether or not he's coming back. And I guess it's a formality. You know, now it's just about the numbers and making sure they match up. What do you think about Adam Wainwright coming back at the age of 40, pitching into age 41 season?
I'm glad his family felt the same way the rest of us did. It's, you can't pull away now. It's going too well. And I think that you know, they see that and they see gas left in the tank. And they're saying, hey, if I can imagine that if Wainwright was not pitching next season, he'd be pacing, you know, holes in his house, walking around, watching games. So you don't want to leave when you feel like you've got something left, and he clearly does. He's in this great spot of competing, of knowing what works, what doesn't, of not trying to do too much, just pitching. And it's such a lost art now that he's thriving. And, you know, who knows? It could fall apart one day. His arm might not feel right, and who knows? It could all change. But until that happens, I'd like to see him keep going. I think he's kind of working on if he pitches one more season like he did this year, then we're going to have a good conversation about his Cooperstown credentials. I sure hope that he gets to play for a team that has a better chance of going deep in the playoffs before he's truly done. But it does sound like it'll be one more year and done. Hopefully the Cardinals can be a little more be a little bit more of a playoff caliber team before Wainwright has to hang it up here.
So Albert Pujols comes through St. Louis. He's gone. We saw Yachty hit a home run. Albert hit a home run. Waino pitch into the ninth. Max Scherzer at the age of 37 was magnificent in game one. And as you mentioned, he might be the Cy Young Award winner in the National League. But that series to me is what baseball is all about. Obviously the Cardinals, you wish they, if you're a fan, they take three or four, if not sweep. Tough to do in a four-game series, but it had a little bit of everything. I mean, that was entertaining baseball if you're a baseball fan.
watching Scherzer pitch, I'd watch him pitch on the moon. I feel like Sam I Am. Like, I'd watch him pitch, you know, Green Eggs and Ham. I'd watch that guy pitch. Each time he takes the mound, you know it's going to be a show. It sure seemed like he had some special juice, some special motivation in this game, too. I saw he got his photo taken there beneath the arch. That's going to be the one that hangs over the Cardinals forever, Dan. And they've admitted it to their credit. They've said, yeah, we should have signed him. But it sure does seem like he gets another gear when he pitches against this team, even if it's in spring training.
Absolutely. He gears up for him, and he throws hard. I mean, we see him in the upper 90s, you know, in spring training when he was with Washington. So free agent to be. We'll see how it all plays out with Scherzer. Colton Parayko, for Blues fans, they're going to see him in the fold for potentially 8 years. It's an 8-year extension. What do you think about that?
If his back holds up, it's great. And that's really the only question that you have. He played better toward the end of last year, which is a good sign. I think the Blues clearly think that he's going to hold up physically. And if he does, then it's a steal. It could be a steal of a deal. I think that's how you have to look at it. With what the certain elite defensemen in the league are getting now, $6.5 million per year for Colton is really good, as long as his health holds. And you have to hope that the doctors and their projections are right there. But if he holds up and plays up to his potential and continues to improve, I still don't think we've seen the best of him yet. And I think it could look like a heck of a bargain. Some would wonder why he said yes. But I think he likes it here. I think he feels like he wants to be around and sees himself as a core part of the team. He could be a future captain of this team. So longtime member and a guy who is beloved here, but also I think is still going to be getting better as long as he holds up physically. So I like the deal, and I think it's a good way to keep a core member of the team together for the long haul.
David Backes, 1-year deal, the former captain, or I'm sorry, 1-day deal. Former captain will retire as a St. Louis Blue and the place where it all began for him, and rightfully so. A real classy move by the Blues and David Backes.
Totally, and tells you everything about Backes. And immediately there was a charity auction going on that was going to help him raise money for some good causes here in St. Louis, and that's pretty much who he's about, man. Backes was not a member of the Cup team, you know, but his fingerprints were still on that team. His leadership was a direct inspiration for Alex Pietrangelo's leadership as a captain. He was a mentor to Pietrangelo even after he left the Boston, and helped him kind of find his groove as a captain, I think. It killed him to play against the Blues in the Stanley Cup final. He was on the losing side of that, and I imagine that will always be a painful thing to him. But the Blues did the right thing in letting him go at that time. But you knew even when they did that they would want him back in some way, shape, or form. Don't be surprised, Dan, if he winds up being a part of the front office at some point in the near future. I can really see that.
Yeah, absolutely. Mizzou, Kentucky this weekend. Mizzou, I thought they looked okay in their opener, but SEC play starts tomorrow.
Yeah, they need to play better defense in this game. They had some big interceptions. They had some big plays, a lot of sacks against Central Michigan, but they also gave up way too many plays, their defense did. I don't think they threw the ball as effectively as they liked. They ended up using Tyler Beatty a lot in the game, kind of became maybe a little more one-dimensional than they hoped. And it was good and bad because Beatty proved he can be that kind of workhorse running back that they don't have now that Larry Roundtree is gone. But I don't know that you want to use that every Saturday. The other thing, too, Kentucky is not the same Kentucky, Dan. They've still got a good defense, a good running back, good offensive and defensive lines. But now they're throwing the ball. They got the Penn State quarterback transferred in playing quarterback. They got the Los Angeles Rams offensive coordinator who's running the offense. They threw the ball as often as they ran it in their season opening win. Now, Louisiana Monroe, not a good team, but they put up a ton of yards, a ton of points. They had two different receivers pull in more than 100 yards receiving. They had the quarterback throw for 300 yards. A running back run for more than 100 yards. They're a much more balanced, modern offense now. They're not the same old Kentucky ground and pound. The other thing, they're extremely motivated by that loss to Missouri last year. They had beaten Missouri 5 times entering that game. They have a photo that they're putting up all over their facility down there in Lexington that kind of shows the Mizzou sideline flexing over a Kentucky player who had fallen down there. They're motivated. They're mad. They feel like they did not give a good representation of themselves in that game. I think Missouri is going to take a loss in Lexington on Saturday, Dan. I really do. I hope that maybe I'm wrong there, but this is a good team. I think this game will be determining who the third best team in the East is this season.
9/11 is over the weekend, 20-year anniversary of 9/11. Have you thought about how sports help bring back the country to an extent?
Man, that's a good question. I have not a ton. I remember vividly being in school when it happened, and you know, it was one of the only times I can remember watching cable news in school. I was in middle school actually, in sixth grade, Dan, in my sixth grade art class, and it was like, what the hell is going on? But you know, the one thing I remember is President Bush throwing out that pitch, and I don't think anybody will ever forget that. And, you know, this moment of this four-seam heater pops the mitt, and you just kind of felt like it was like, all right, we're gonna make our way through this. We're going to figure this out. And, you know, up there for presidential moments in sports, I think that's got to be pretty high on the list.
No doubt.
And I think a lot of what we see in sports is a result of that. I mean, it's always going to be a touchstone. It's always going to be a sign of us coming together. I think, you know, it's a chance for us to honor those who have served and continue to kind of show that, you know, we might take a pause, we might have to catch our breath, we might have to take some games off at times, but we're going to get back, get together and make sure that we're celebrating stuff. But sports plays a role on that, and I think we're seeing sports play a role in that now, coming out of, I want to say coming out of the pandemic. I guess we're still kind of muddling through it, but sports is intertwined in these big moments in our history. I think 10 years from now, we'll be talking about sports and COVID, just like we were talking about sports and 9/11.
Probably right. And one of those events that is helping our community is the Ascension Charity Classic. A lot of people going out yesterday for the Pro-Am. They're going to tee it off. And Jay Delsing, who carried bags at Norwood, made it to the PGA Tour, is going to lead the whole thing out. You know, he's going to have that first tee and that first group and that first swing. These guys, you know, Steve Spratt, Nick Ragone, the folks at Ascension, they've done a remarkable job with this. And it's the preeminent golf event this weekend across the board in the country, maybe the world, as the PGA Tour kind of steps aside. So to see this come through our town, the fact that it benefits so many charities in North County, this is a really cool deal. And I think it's going to be well attended. And I would imagine the golf community outside of St. Louis will be blown away by the response that they get this weekend. They already have been, I know that, with what happened yesterday and the day before, but this is really a cool event and great for St. Louis.
Yeah, I talked to Nick Ragone on Thursday, and he said, you know, the tour officials are telling him this is like what a crowd would look like on a Saturday for one of these tour stops usually. And this is a pro-am on Thursday. So the crowds are going to be huge. They think Saturday is going to go bonkers. They're still selling tickets. They can't really sell it out. I mean, people, as many people who want to go can. And I think with the weather forecast that they just got, it's going to get bigger than even they thought. They're expecting at least 30,000 over the course of the weekend. If you go Saturday, you get to watch Ozzie and Berube play in the charity foursome there with Jack Nicklaus and Tom Watson. Talked to Craig Berube on Thursday, and he's like nervous, which is funny to hear Chief talk about being nervous. But you know, why wouldn't you be with up against those guys? So it's going to be a great fit for St. Louis, right? It's kind of a more casual, interactive style of tournament. Folks want you to come out, drink a beer, chat with guys. No one represents that more than John Daly, who had like a crowd of like three deep watching him for the Pro-Am portion, was out at the Cardinals game holding court. He was throwing out the first pitch, one of those Dodgers games, Dan. I was down there like an hour and a half before the game. He's supposed to be like checking in. He's in the parking lot, like holding court with fans, just hanging out. Like their handlers are trying to like pull him into the stadium. He just wanted to hang out and talk ball. So that's kind of the style of this tournament. And I think it's going to go right up there on the list with all the reasons. If you put an event here in St. Louis, if you do right by St. Louis, they will reward you with attendance, with support, with ticket sales, everything. And it jumps out. And the cool part about it, and you've talked to Nick Ragone about this a lot, the money goes right back into North County through the charities there. They had a teaching seminar there on Thursday night at Norwood for members of the different groups of, you know, that are being introduced into the game. And it's going to pump right back in. And we saw that even with the first, you know, tournament. This is one of four, but the launch was canceled due to COVID. They pushed it back and they still donated a bunch of money to the charities in North County. So I think it's a great fit. I think it's going to be a great fit for the next 4 years, and pretty exciting to have this on our schedule moving forward.
Steve Spratt, Nick Ragone, and the folks at Ascension deserve a ton of credit. And this is a long-term association here in St. Louis at Norwood Hills. What are you working on this weekend for the Post-Dispatch?
Well, I've got a column about the golf tournament coming out. That'll be in today's paper. We've got a ton of stuff covered, man. We got Dave Matter and Benjamin Hockman headed down to Kentucky. We'll have columns from Busch Stadium. We got golf covered with Stu Durando. We'll have it all covered in STLtoday.com, along with the Blues news, too.
All right. Thank you so much, buddy. We'll catch up next week.
Sounds good, brother. Have a good weekend.
This is brought to you by Blue Tail Medical Group. We do it every Friday with Ben Fredrickson of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch.